just a double again.
I want to see a triple doink.
It might happen.
Doink.
Double doink.
It's double doink.
Double doink.
Triple doink. Quadruple doink.
Doink.
Doink. A double doink right there.
Doink. Doink. A double doink.
Double doinker.
Double doinks and sackles.
Teaching you how to football.
Can you teach me how to football?
I could try to, man.
All right, we are down to four teams left in the NFL season. The playoffs underway. We had our divisional round last week. First game on the slate. It was a good one. We had the Jaguars and Chiefs. Jaguars might have done the Bengals a favor with giving Mahomes a little high ankle sprain. It was a good game, though, down to the end. That onside kick, the ball was loose for a while. I was like, come on. Come on, baby. But the Chiefs just hang on.
Gotta want it.
But again, the one thing I'll remember from that game is that quote-unquote fumble by who fumbled it? What's the guy's name?
Jamal Agnew.
Yeah. I do not think he had control of that ever. I think that should have been an incomplete pass. Jacksonville gets another shot at it from inside the 10. I mean, I think that was first and goal, right, on that play?
It would have been first and goal, yeah.
I don't know. That kind of bothered me. I'm not a Jaguars fan, but I feel like you have to at least look at it, like replay it. It's a turnover, so it's an automatic replay. You don't have to waste a challenge. I don't know. That's my thought on that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, they didn't do enough to win the game. You know, Jaguars, I think, have exceeded the expectations of, you know, what they were thought that they were going to do this year. I think they're a year or two early on their push for the playoffs. But they looked good. You know, they held their own. They didn't embarrass themselves against the Chiefs. I think they were like 9.5-point underdogs or something like that going into the game. You know, they played well. I agree with you. I don't think it was a fumble. I think you do have to look at it. But you know, you can't put yourself in that position down that much
on
the road in a tough environment, you know, without a whole lot of time left. So, you know, they tried to make a comeback. Hopefully, you know, this won't be the last we'll see of the Jaguars in the playoffs. I think, you know, it's positive going forward. But, you know, good win on the Chiefs. But, you know, the focus now kind of goes to Patrick Mahomes and that high ankle sprain to see if he's going to be able to play 100% this week.
If I could just ask, like, what goes through your, you know, nobody cheers for an injury, but you saw Mahomes hobbling out there. I mean, it's your team. You're like, I mean, we don't want to cheer or celebrate injury, but I mean, you got to feel kind of.
No, I mean, I wasn't cheering for an injury at all. I know that there's some people around us that were. I would never cheer for an injury unless someone got hit in the nuts. I think that's just funny. You know, nothing too serious.
Or a finger in the ass. That's another good one.
That's also a good one, but I would say, you know, you hope that Patrick Mahomes feels better after the game, but you hope that, you know, he just struggles when he's out there. And I don't think anybody that would be cheering for a football game and seeing one of the best players go down wouldn't hope, at least, you know, that you can maintain it. You know, obviously he came back out. He was in a lot of pain. I don't think that they really needed him to win that game. I think,
Chad Henne
had a 98-yard drive for a touchdown. You know, who knows? There's a lot of hypotheticals in a situation like that, but I think, you know, I'm glad that Patrick Mahomes wasn't seriously injured. You know, I would never wish that on anybody. And, you know, yeah, it was a good game. It was much better than, I'd say, at least a couple of the other games that happened over the weekend.
This is true.
You know, we'll see the Jaguars back. You know, they'll have a harder schedule next year, obviously, but We should see him back, perennial playoff at a 10%.
Absolutely, especially in that division. I don't know what kind of threat you have going on. I mean, we'll see what happens with Indy and who they get. But, yeah, you guys should own that division, I'd say, for a few years coming up.
Should.
Got, like, Calvin Ridley next year back, too.
Allegedly.
Well, yeah, we'll see what gets reinstated.
Yeah.
I just thought the Jags played really, really valiantly. They played, like, with a lot of, like, motivation. They drove the ball down the field, which I didn't expect them to do much, and I was very surprised they were able to do that. Good game, good effort. I think you should be proud of them.
I mean, I think Trevor Lawrence is him, man. I think he's the answer. He looks really good. He makes the right throws. You know, he's just going to get better. We kind of talked about some of the decision making he makes during the game. with, you know, not really taking the ball and running, sometimes spending a little bit too long on his progressions. You know, that's going to come with time and good coaching. And you can see how much of a good coach, you know, can do for a team when you just look at essentially the exact same team under Urban Meyer with this, you know, now under Doug Peterson. So, you know, it was a valiant effort. And, yeah, I mean, we'll see him back.
All right, next game. This one was not much at all. Giants at Eagles. Everyone, I know Giants fans were feeling high. They're like, yeah, we want a playoff game, division rival. We're going to play them tough. It was 28-0 at the half. Philly pretty much, they couldn't stop them at all. I think Philly almost had 200 yards rushing in this game, something around there. It was a very, very one-sided affair. At one point, it was only 28-7 when the Giants scored a third-quarter touchdown. But aside from that, the Eagles look like they're ready to go for this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles, 268 yards rushing for the day, which is an astounding number, especially in a playoff game. The passing yards, only 148. But you don't really have to pass the ball when you're running it at will.
Yeah.
My biggest question from this game still kind of comes down to, and you know, you're not going to say that the Giants were really in it in the second half, but in the fourth quarter with about 11 and a half minutes left, they had stopped the Eagles in the third quarter. They had the touchdown under their belts. They were down by 3 scores, and they chose to punt the ball with like 11:20 left, if I remember correctly. It was like 11:15, 11:20 left. And then they never really saw the ball again after that.
Yeah.
Because I think Philly ran up, you know, like a 6 or 7 minute drive.
Just like killed that clock. And like they went for it on fourth down in the first half, like early in the game. I think it was the first quarter even. Yeah. And like you're down by this much, you don't just go for it there. I mean, it was almost the same situation as far as how long it was, but this time they were down by 21 points. I mean, like, you need to score.
You
like,
can see it here, actually. It was a 7 minute 56 second drive that Philly had that ended in a field goal, but took so much time off.
Yeah.
The clock by that point and put them down by, once again, 3 scores still at 24.
Yeah.
But I just didn't get it. I don't understand it. I'm not saying that, you know, there was ever a chance that they had it there to win the game. But I feel as though the punt, you know, in the fourth quarter when you're down by 3 scores was just...
Makes no sense.
I feel like there's been a lot of bad clock management in the playoffs and even in the regular season this year. And I think maybe some of the coaches need to go back to a little lessons on this one.
Maybe the Giants are just happy to be there, I guess. But yeah, other teams, like I think the Niners had some poor clock management for the first half too, like not calling time out the right time. But yeah, I think the Giants were just very, very happy to be there this week. I don't know, how do you feel as a Viking fan watching that Giants play?
Honestly, it made me think, like, well, first of all, like, the Vikings defense in general, like, we would have gone to San Francisco. Like, Dallas' defense is good. Held the Niners to just 19 points. I feel like a 38-7 type of score would have happened in San Francisco if the Vikings were there.
Hmm.
And then the Cowboys would have played the Eagles. I think that game would have been a little closer. But yeah, like, just seeing that, like, I feel like the Eagles and Niners are just, like, the heavy front runners. And it's, like, the Vikings, again, like, they would have needed, like, a game like Buffalo where everything had to go their way in order to, like, inch out a win. Mm-hmm. But, yep. Congrats, Eagles. Congrats, Chiefs. And then we got the Bengals. I feel like the Bengals have been playing with a chip on their shoulder ever since the DeMar Hamlin situation. Because... first of all, they were going to flip a coin on the division if the Ravens would have ended up tying them. And then, I mean, the fact that they had to go to Buffalo to play this game, I mean, I think they would have beat Buffalo in that regular season game. And then you do that, you're tied, same record, you own the tiebreaker because of that. So I feel like this game should have been played at a neutral site as well. And I think the Bengals kind of felt that way too. I think they got a chip on their shoulder right now. It's like but they don't care. Like they just go out there and they take care of business. Outside of the Niners, the Bengals have to be the hottest team in the league right now. I think the Bengals are just firing on all cylinders. I mean, I picked Buffalo to win that game last week, and it was mainly because of the offensive line for the Bengals dinged up. But they did a good job. Like they had a good scheme. Their defense shut down the Bills. Like, the Bills couldn't do anything. And the Bengals just had their way. Like, I wanted to stay close. So I was like, come on, just stop them, Buffalo. And then, boom, like, 40-yard play, touchdown. Like, Bengals look good.
You know, I think it's a testament to a couple of things. One, the Bengals, you know, their drive and their passion right now, you know, ever since, I think it started before the DeMar Hamlin game. I think that the Bengals have kind of been overlooked. I think they had a little bit of a slow start. I think they started 2-4, I think.
That sounds about right.
That's about right.
And then, you know, end up ripping off, you know, 10 wins or something like that after that. But the Bengals, I feel, were kind of overlooked. I think that they had some flaws early on. We talked about the pass blocking early on in the season. And they fixed it. I mean, even when people have gone down on the offensive line, it's been the next person up, and the Bengals have been living by that on their offensive line. And they're just continuing to win games. I mean, sometimes it's not sexy. Sometimes they're close. Sometimes they're, you know, the Bengals play down. But everyone seems to be doing that at times. I just don't understand how the Bengals weren't like one of the odds-on favorites coming in here. I mean, they're the defending AFC champions. I think I talked about this last week. They're the defending AFC champions. They're playing with a chip on their shoulder. No one's giving them, you know, the benefit of the doubt at all. Even this, I mean, you know, they opened as 3-point underdogs against the Chiefs, you know, for the AFC title game. With the Mahomes injury, the thing has fluctuated. We talked about that.
Yeah.
How it fluctuates back and forth. And I think it's settled now as the Chiefs is negative, you know, minus 1 point, you know, going into this weekend, which is fine for a home game. You know, I mean, take the 3 points away, it's essentially almost an even game, or the Bengals are favored. I don't understand why the Bengals aren't getting more respect. And I think that they have thrived in this kind of we're going to show you wrong position.
Yeah. Which is a great, if that's your team, like, that is, you love your team in that situation. Because if you lose, it's like, whatever, we knew you were going to lose because you're supposed to lose to the Chiefs. But then when you win, you're like, F you.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the Bengals, you know, have obviously, you know, enveloped that. I think I saw every single one of them, you know, walking through the tunnel, asking, you know, telling everyone to get their refunds for the tickets that were bought.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing, though, that you kind of look at was this, the decline of the Bills towards the end of the season. You know, and I don't think the DeMar Hamlin thing has anything to do with it. The biggest thing was losing Von Miller earlier on with the knee injury.
Was a huge difference.
They could not get pressure on anybody. It changed the defensive schemes for the Bills by that point.
Well, and at one point, Josh Allen's arm, like, he hurt that in that Jets game, which was prior to that Vikings game. Like, his arm, I don't think, has been 100% since then. Because he hasn't missed any games. He's played every single game. And I think that might have... Because that's kind of around the time I feel like they were kind of coming down from their, like, dominance. It's like, all right, this team is beatable. And they're, you know, I mean, I think you get a healthy Josh Allen, and he's got to clean up those turnovers, especially in the red zone. Like, that's been kind of his shtick this year.
I think a big thing right now that you look at is how much the loss of Brian Daboll actually ends up hurting Josh Allen. You know, if you look at, you know, this is probably one of the worst seasons Josh Allen's had on turnovers, I think, in his short career so far. And, you know, he wasn't there. It just wasn't on. And you can see what Brian Daboll did for Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's something to be said about, you know, his effect and, you know, coordinators or coaches' effects. I mean, you saw what Trevor Lawrence did with Doug Peterson. You could see what these coaches do and how they affect their quarterbacks. I think losing Brian Daboll actually kind of hurts a little bit more because, I mean, you know, Allen's arm might have been hurt, but I mean, Diggs is over on the sidelines yelling at him. Diggs is leaving.
Yeah.
He's pissed off at him by this point. Yeah. The amount of turnovers and fumbles that Allen was having, you know, in the last 2 weeks of the season, of the playoffs, was pretty incredible as well. So
that Diggs, brought me back to the wild card game, Vikings Saints, back in it was 2018 season, so January 2019. And Vikings are winning a game. They were like, a lot of teams were predicting the Saints would beat them by like 14 points. Like, they thought it was just going to be one sided. And Diggs did not get a target until the second half, and he was on the sideline, like, complaining. Why? It's like, dude, we're winning. Like, it's a team. Like, if we're losing and you're not getting the ball, like, sure, maybe that's something that'll slip. But we are winning the game. Like, don't act like this. And he's just, I know he's competitive. I still love Diggs, but he gets a little whiny on the sidelines.
I see you.
All right. Did you have anything to add to that, Mr. Statboy?
I was thinking, I was just trying to remind myself what happened in this game, and that since he came up to a 14-0 lead, and it reminds me, Buffalo's defense gave up a lot of points to Miami and Skylar Thompson. So I think Buffalo's defense has been definitely struggling without Von Miller, and just they haven't been playing to their potential, really, the defense. And then since he just put on points and put on points, and then just eventually Buffalo just stopped being able to do anything and just got stagnant in their offense and nothing else happened.
I mean, it was just, it was a clean game from Cincinnati as well. It's not something you see a lot. I feel like the Bengals get penalized a ton. I mean, it's one of the things that happened in the Jaguars game. I think we got 16 penalties against us, but the Bengals had 2 penalties in the entire game. You know, and doing stuff like that and just making sure that you're leaving the ball in the offensive hands and letting them drive.
Yeah.
I mean, it never disrupted the rhythm. The Bengals look good. I mean, I don't see how they aren't favorites going into this weekend, but, you know, people get paid a lot more money to make those decisions than I do, so.
This is true. Final game over divisional round were the Cowboys going to San Francisco, or Santa Clara, excuse me. Their defense looked, they came up. I mean, they held the Niners to just 3 first half field goals. And again, the extra point was blocked. I mean, I think we were all watching that, just waiting for that first extra point when Dalton Schultz caught the first touchdown of the game.
Would have been missed anyway.
Like, oh, yeah.
Ball was going left.
But again, sometimes those balls, like, they kind of flutter. And sometimes they'll, like,
they you don't know, hook,
slice it back in. You never know.
You're the golfer.
But with what Brett Maher was up with, like, just dealing with, like, to miss that right away. And that was his only extra point attempt.
Did you see the gamesmanship during a pregame where I think Maher was trying to practice and Debo would just kind of get in his way or
something?
Yeah.
He stood right in front of him.
Yeah, and then Jerry Jones was, like, giving him a pep talk. He's like, that's probably not the one. You don't want the
last person you want to talk to. Yeah. But my favorite part about this game, because, you know, you hear a lot about, like, who's got the worst fan base. You know, people will say Patriots fans, people will say this or that, but I always hear, if you're not a Cowboys fan, you hate the Cowboys. I feel like it's no, like, in between, like, oh, I kind of like them. Like, no, you either love or hate. And watching all the videos of Cowboy fans punching their TV, just standing there around crying, it was beautiful.
I mean, watching Skip Bayless throw away his Dak Prescott.
Oh, that was so, like, stage two.
As if I need a reason to cheer for
Skip. I remember
Skip
him
Bayless
doing that before 1 year, and it was just, he did a different angle of his kitchen where he had a microwave above his trash can, which was the weirdest thing everyone, like, noticed. Skip Bayless is an idiot.
Can't stand him. But, I mean, hats off to the Cowboys defense. They definitely made this game, like, competitive. Because Dak was not the greatest. I mean, again, those interceptions. He throws some bonehead interceptions. And losing Tony Pollard halfway through the game definitely did not help him either.
No, yeah. I mean, Zeke's no Tony Pollard, obviously. But it was interesting to kind of watch this game the way that it unfolded. And it just felt like, you know, the Niners kept pushing, you know, just enough to try and, like, test the limits is what they can get. And it all kind of turns, I think, on the George Kittle, the bobble catch that he had.
Oh, with the long one, yeah.
That's where it kind of turns, and I feel as though there wasn't a chance for the Cowboys to come back. Because when Kittle makes that catch and they start driving down, they get a touchdown on that drive as well. Once that happens, you just kind of see the swagger come back, and the Niners, the Cowboys are playing catch-up. I mean, they're only down by 7 by that point, but
yeah.
It seemed like a long 7, you know
it
what
did.
I mean?
Yeah, I mean, even going in tied into the fourth quarter,
yeah,
it just felt like there's the Niners can't lose this game. No matter how close, like, I cannot envision a way the Niners can lose this game.
Well, because they had that big, long drive to end the third quarter, right? It's, a 6-minute drive by this point, and they open up the fourth quarter with a touchdown, like a 2-yard run from CMC. And then from that point on, it's dysfunction, I think, for the Cowboys. And everyone wants to put this on Dak. I don't really think I could put it all on Dak by this point. The 2 interceptions doesn't help. But he still made plays. He got it around. I mean, the lack of running game for the Cowboys, I think, was a big part. Obviously losing Pollard hurt. But, I mean, Zeke has 10 carries for 26 yards.
Yeah, 2.6 a carry is not going to do it.
You know, and we both, all of us know kind of my focus on, you know, time of possession and running. Dak still, you know, he outgunned Brock Purdy. He had, you know, more yards. They had less sacks. The interceptions obviously didn't help. But Dak didn't play a terrible game. It's just the Cowboys couldn't get things going against that San Francisco defense. And, you know, eventually something had a break. And it was the Cowboys' will to win.
How about that last play? That last play was something. This is what I think they wanted to do. So, you know, you got all the offensive linemen there on the side. So Zeke is not eligible receiver, but that does not mean you can't pitch it back to him. So what I thought they wanted to do was when they threw it, whoever caught it got tackled right away. What they envisioned was him catching it, pitching it back to Zeke, and then he's got the convoy of offensive linemen there on the side. That is the only thing I can think of, that because that play didn't have time, but the Niners were smart to attack Zeke, and I don't know who that defensive guy was, just pushed him straight back. Like,
that might have been a Menahu or like Al-Shaair or something.
Yeah, and like, so I think Zeke was supposed to be part of that play, but with that, like, just throwing him 5 yards back after that, the throw was like over. But
we've
like,
seen the replays. I could have sworn I've seen that play before, and it was the Colts and the Patriots doing that exact same play.
Well, that was on a punt, and the guy wasn't even in shotgun for that. And like, that play was worse than what we saw on Sunday. But
I don't know. They're both really bad. I would say, based off of kind of what I saw, because I remember watching it over and over from different angles, and yada, different commentators. What it looks like to me, if you actually look at the play on the bottom of the screen from, you know, our perspective on the couch, it looked like T.Y. Hilton was actually the one that kind of bounced back out from, like, the convoy of people that were in front of him. And I think T.Y. Hilton was supposed to get the ball. Now, whether they're going to pitch it back to Zeke or eventually try and get it back to Zeke is a whole other story. But T.Y. is the one that's supposed to get the ball. However, I don't think, like, you know, they ran it in practice and, you know, you can't hit the quarterback, can't do stuff like that. Right. So, you know, in practice it probably worked great. And the Niners just kind of looked at Zeke and saw Dak, and they're like, well, we're just going to rush somebody. And,
yeah.
You know.
Because you still have, even if you rush one person, you still got 10 guys down there.
He got trucked. He got so trucked on that play.
That was a weird one.
I heard on a podcast that Alex Smith talks about people running these kind of like oddball like things. And they practice that in walkthrough. So they don't really do the timing.
Like full, yeah.
They just got to get everyone set up, know what to do, and then just in. Pull rope in case of emergency, those kind of plays. And, yeah, Alex Smith just laughs like, you don't really practice it that long. You just walk through and kind of stage it and kind of get the idea what you want to do when it happens and stuff. And
I mean, one of the big things that you have on that is the mishaps by Dalton Schultz in that last drive. I mean,
two of them.
I don't think that, you know, it changes the game outcome at all, because there's only like 40-something seconds.
It will change, but, like, you can throw a Hail Mary at least instead of, like, some weird gadget play.
I mean, he doesn't try and go forward, so the clock keeps running when he goes out of bounds. You know, he runs backwards out of bounds, so which keeps the clock moving. And then he doesn't get his second foot down
on the next
on the next play, the right to the next play. So, I mean, you're talking, like, time and tick, tick, tick.
Time,
tick,
but
tick,
just
tick,
the
tick,
yards. Tick. Like, both of those plays, like let's just say about 30 yards, like 15 per play. He goes forward out of bounds. That saves you a good 15 seconds. Mm. And then you can even run more plays as a cowboy to, like, where it's not even a Hail Mary, where, like, you can get maybe down to the 30-yard line and you can zip one in instead of, like, chuck it up, but because of those two plays, they got put back in that situation, and the rest is history.
Yeah, that was
there's one thing I kind of like just realized about Dallas, because Dallas, they couldn't get their offense moving, and if you remember very beginning this year, Dallas made some changes. They got rid of they traded Amari Cooper away. Mm. I wonder how this team would have done with another weapon like Amari Cooper. Instead, they got T.Y. Hilton, they got these other rookie receivers.
Well, when Gallup is healthy, he's decent, but he's like number two, maybe number three. Like,
I mean, CeeDee looked good.
Yeah, CeeDee's a definite number one.
Pollard's had a really good season. You know, Zeke, you could definitely see the outside speed of Pollard was missed as soon as he was gone. Zeke cannot hit that outside anymore. I mean, he just looks slow. And then, yeah, Gallup hasn't looked great, you know, even when he's been back. And T.Y., I mean, it's like 40-something years old now, right? So I would say, you know, Dalton Schultz has to be a priority to sign. I know we just, you know, kind of talked bad about him. You know, he had a rough end
of
that last
game. But he's still, like, top 10 tight end.
I mean, I can make an argument, probably top five. You know,
possibly,
NFL,
yeah.
You can make an argument for it. But, you know, you have to make him a priority. I mean, for those of you asking to get rid of Zeke, by all means, there's a bunch of other teams out there that would gladly take him that could probably use him. I mean, imagine Zeke on the Jets by that point. You know, I mean, you know, with a good team and good coaching staff around you, and I think Saleh, like what he's doing up there right now in New York. But yeah, I mean, Cowboy fans just—I don't know what sense of entitlement they think they have, you know, since they haven't been to a conference championship game in 27 years. I mean, I don't get it, but it just makes me love it even more. Like when they get upset,
they punch their TVs every year. I think I remember them doing that all
last year too.
Some of them look like it was staged, like they just wanted to be internet famous, so they just like
the taking the 45-inch screen in the driveway and running over the car and stuff like that. It's just, I don't understand it. They also wanted the Niners in Tampa, remember?
They're chanting, "We want the Niners."
T.Y. Hilton is 33 years old, not 40.
Same thing.
Yeah,
in wide receiver years.
He's 45, actually.
Actually.
I don't know, like, we're done with the games, but I just, a quick little side note. I just talk about Nathaniel Hackett going to the Jets. For those of you who don't know, he is butt buddies with Karen Rodgers.
I don't know if I pronounce it that way.
And the Jets, I've heard, are willing to give up 2 first-rounders, which is what the Peckers want. I think we've seen our last of Karen Rodgers in the green and gold.
Oh yeah, Joe Namath was going to give up his number.
Yeah, Joe Namath said he'd unretire his number.
I mean, there's a part of me that wants this to blow up in the Jets' face. I've no ill will towards the Jets at all. You know what I mean? But a part of me wants this to blow up in their face the same way it blew up in Denver's face. Like they went ahead and they hired Nathaniel Hackett. And it turns out, like, Rodgers doesn't actually go anywhere. And I kind of want that to be the case here in New York. Like,
I feel like Rodgers changed his number.
I mean, they're putting the cart before the horse for this point, you know. I don't know. I think it's a good move for the Jets if they were to get Aaron Rodgers. He's still definitely got something in the tank. They have the weapons. I mean, I can imagine how good Garrett Wilson would look next year with Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball.
That could be a top 5 receiver in fantasy.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, like, you're talking, if you get Aaron Rodgers out there, I mean, you're talking top 5 receiver, maybe definitely top 10 receiver in Garrett Wilson. And then you're talking about the running game between Breece Hall and Michael Carter with James Robinson as a thirder back there. I mean, that's a pretty potent team, you know. No doubt. And that defense, I mean, they're still young. They're not going to get any worse.
Yeah, and again, they're all on rookie contracts, too, so you can get someone like Karen Rodgers and pay that, what, $50 million a year contract?
So there's a couple coach moves that we haven't talked about as well. Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator for the Ravens, got fired. He's gone.
He quit, I believe.
Quit. Okay. There you go. So
he's probably asked to quit. Like, front office, like, look, you want to get fired or you just want to quit? Like,
He's out. And so, I mean, maybe that's a good sign if you're trying to keep Lamar Jackson. Maybe they're trying to open up the playbook for him a little bit more. You have Wilkes, the interim coach, Steve Wilkes, for the Panthers, did not get the job. I know he's one of the finalists. Lost it to Frank Reich, who we discussed at the beginning of the podcast, was the very first Panthers quarterback to throw a touchdown in Panthers history.
That is true.
He's there. I still think Frank Reich got done a little bit dirty in Indianapolis.
For sure, especially Brady and Jeff Saturday. Did they say Jeff Saturday... Jim Irsay is saying like he's still like possibly going to hire Saturday as the coach, which sounds,
I mean, Jim Irsay, stupid. Jim Irsay is nuts though, so I actually believe that that's possible.
Jim Irsay likes to spend hours in someone else's bathroom apparently, just hanging out.
You got the defensive line coach for the Saints, Rich Nielsen, goes to the Falcons as their defensive coordinator.
I think he interviewed with the Vikings for that same spot. Brian Flores has been talked about coming and being the defensive coordinator for the Vikings, which I would love.
That would be very, very good for them.
He was a great coach in Miami, but because Miami's owner is a racist, like he didn't stick around too long. So,
Allegedly. Speaking of defensive coordinators, Dan Quinn will be returning to the Cowboys again. I feel like this is the second or third year in a row that he seems to be one of the favorites to move and ends up staying with the Cowboys. I think he's in a good position right now to stay.
Absolutely.
There.
And look at his defenses over the years. I mean, he was with Seattle for all those years, mm-hmm. One Super Bowl. He got the Falcons to the Super Bowl, biggest collapse in Super Bowl history. But, again, his defense, Atlanta's not known for ever having a good defense, and their defense was decent under him.
Yeah, I think I don't think there were a lot of sexy picks out there for job openings this year. I mean, there's never really a great pick for a job opening. Yeah. You know what I mean? Odds are the teams are kind of in the dumpster. But there wasn't anything that like really got me going. Houston a little bit, but I mean, that's been a disarray, especially since they didn't get rid of their GM. I don't know how you walk into Houston and want to work there knowing that they've been through 2 coaches in 3 years, knowing that there's no job security by that point.
They got a lot of picks. They got a lot of picks. A lot of potential.
I get it. That's the only thing helping.
But how much time will they give? Because some of these coaches are on such a short leash. It's like, look, it's going to take 2 or 3 years before maybe we, you know, see some progress. So, like, give it time.
I thought Lovie Smith, you know, did a good job this year.
I love Lovie Smith. Fucking, again, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. Going for two and taking Houston out of the top draft pick.
Yeah, man.
Because he knew he wasn't. I don't think he would have been back either way. Even if he would have just, like, not done that and, you know, did what they say, they still would have just, they were going to fire him.
Yeah. And then you got, Mike LaFleur, the offensive coordinator from the Jets, who was fired. I still can't believe he got fired. I mean, it's not like they had a quarterback to work with out there.
Yeah.
But he goes to the Rams as their offensive coordinator. So Sean McVay staying in Los Angeles. And those are all the coaching moves right now. Still the Sean Payton.
I'll say, yeah, Sean Payton's still out there. But
I don't think he's going to coach this year.
I think Sean Payton's going to wait and see what's next.
I don't know what team would want to give up draft picks for a coach. Like, that's the thing I don't...
John Gruden?
Oh, yeah.
Bill Belichick?
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, I wouldn't give up picks for John Gruden now, but yeah. No,
yeah, back in the day, I think John Gruden was traded to the Raiders to be back...
Gruden and Belichick both.
No, he was traded to the Bucks.
Bucks to be, like, their coach.
Yeah.
And then he, like...
Did they give up draft picks or did they give up players or...
I think it
feels like draft.
Draft picks or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess if it's the right coach, right? I mean, they didn't win a Super Bowl, so I guess that was a successful trade, but... I don't know. I just
I just remember this happening in basketball with Doc Rivers being like farmed out to the Sixers, so the Clippers wouldn't have to have him anymore or something like that.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens as the months go by. But we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, conference championship picks.
Hey, Fernando, I was actually looking for a good place this weekend to grab myself a burrito. Any suggestions?
I got the perfect spot. My favorite burrito in town is at El Zarape Mexican Restaurant. El Zarape, located at 4642 Park Boulevard. They got a couple other locations there in North Park and in Normal Heights. The surf and turf, whatever they put in there, it's magical. El Zarape, check them out.
El Zarape, put it in your mouth.
El Zarape. Some good-ass Mexican food.
Mm-mm.
Let's take a break and hear a message from a sponsor. Previously on Double Doinks and Sackles.
You know what, Fernando? We are going to go to conference picks real fast, because I'm going to tell you right now.
All right.
Who are your conference title picks and your Super Bowl pick?
Conference title pick. Again, this is early in the season. If I'm going to pick the conference, I'm going to go with the Chiefs getting back to the Super Bowl. I think the Chiefs, a lot of people are undermining them a bit. They got rid of Tyreek, and they kind of had a down year for the Mahomes era, but I'm going to take the Chiefs, and I think they will go up against, I know I can't say the Vikings, but...
No, you can.
You know what? Let's go rematch with Tom Brady. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes.
Who the Chiefs play?
I just said Tom Brady.
No, in the conference.
Oh, the Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
And I think they go into Buffalo, because Buffalo will be the one seed, and I think they upset them.
Who will Brady play?
Brady will play, we'll say the Minnesota Vikings.
All right,
well. Vikings will win that division, get a couple playoffs. Kirk Cousins got his first playoff win a few years ago. He'll get a couple more this year and then, you know, shit the bed in the conference championship game.
All right, I'm going NFC. I'm going Vikings versus Bucks.
Ooh.
AFC, I'm going Bills versus Bengals. Super Bowl, I'm going Bucks versus the Bills with the Bucks winning.
I like it. Buffalo will be the third team then to lose 5 Super Bowls. A little side note for you guys. All right, are we wrapping it up now? Let's wrap this thing up.
You want to hear
what I say? Oh, yeah, we got Jimmy the Stat Boy. Let's listen to what he has to say.
This is definitely not right. I have the Bills beating the Chiefs in the conference championship. They will play the Bucks, who beat the Eagles in the conference championship.
The Eagles! Yowzers!
And the Bills will win it all. That is my not ironclad pick.
Well, there you go.
You've heard it here first.
Yeah. Eagles in the NFC Championship game. All right. Well, if that happens, much respect. All right. We are back. Conference Championship week. We are going to talk about what we think will happen. And also, sitting in front of us, we have some chicken wings with some different level of spices. So we're going to be starting off with some weak stuff. And going up to the spicy shit. So We'll see how we can handle it.
First up is going to be the classic hot sauce, chili maple.
Orange label. As we begin
to talk about
conference championship
game number one.
Number one, NFC side of it. It is the Niners at the Eagles. Niners at Eagles. Eagles coming in as of Friday. They are 2.5-point favorites in this game. Both teams are, they're obviously the best two teams in the NFC, hence why they're here. I personally just, I don't know what it is. Like, I'm waiting for the Brock Purdy experiment to, like, you know, start to flutter a bit. So I feel like Philly will be able to put up some plays. Their defense is not as good as the Niners, but I don't think the Niners' offense is as good as Philly, but they're both very close. I think we're going to have a great, entertaining game. I see Philly able to do a little more. They've got the home team behind them, or the home crowd behind them. I got the Eagles winning by a field goal. I think it's going to be a classic game, though. It's going to be a great game.
Well, watching that Niners-Cowboys game made me feel like this is a real preview of this week's game. Because Purdy didn't do enough. He just did enough. He didn't pass any touchdowns. He was stifled by a hard defense and was able to just kind of keep going and keep going and keep going. So I've been, like, back and forth on this. I actually don't feel like I'm going to have my heart broken if the Niners lose. But I do feel like they're going to surprise a lot of people. Everyone picks the Eagles in this week.
Yeah.
Everyone has that. I'm really concerned about 49ers containing Jalen Hurts. Because they barely were able to, like... I watched a damn game where they had Mariota and they couldn't contain him either. But they were down people. I just feel like the Niners are going to have some way. Purdy needs to be able to not make mistakes. He needs to continue to not make mistakes. Otherwise, they're done. But I have a feeling it'll win. So I'm going to pick the Niners to win this game.
So I want the Niners to win this game. I really very much do. No rookie quarterback has ever won a conference championship game. Ever. I think he's the only fifth quarterback to actually, like, start a conference championship game.
Oh, wow.
San Francisco's coming in hot, man. I think they already put a Purdy jersey on the Rocky statue. I saw them.
Eagle fans hate that. I remember when the Vikings went to the NFC Championship game, they put, like, the Viking horns on there.
I was actually a skull towel.
I was
listening to somebody talk about it today, and they actually had respect for the Viking fans because they said at least the Viking fans stuck around and, like, did their chant and, like, were face to face with Philly fans around the Rocky statue. He was like some coward Niners fan showed up in the middle of the night and just, like, put the jersey on, like, wasn't there to, like, stand
some
up
people think like the Niners already lost the game because they did that. And I was like, yeah, whatever.
Well, my favorite one so far is the picture of Purdy looking out over Philly with the Rocky below, but it just says Brocky below it.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Right now. But with all of that, we're trying the second one, by the way.
Yeah,
we're on the first one. The first one is, like, basic.
Yeah, I'll say it. It's a little kick. I'm not dying from it, but the second one seems milder than the first one.
And barbacoa hot sauce?
Barbacoa is the Los Calientes.
I mean, I'm underwater. Like, I got my water and my beer here, so we're doing it. So you like those Eagles?
We like the Niners.
I like the Eagles, man. I think it's going to be a good game. I'm with you on this one. I think the Niners are going to come to play. I think they're going to keep it real close. I think I will be cheering for the Niners in this game.
What?
Because I kind of want to see them come out on top. I want to keep watching and riding this Brock Purdy, you know, story.
You want to ride Brock Purdy?
I do. I would love to. I think it'd be a pretty good ride. But I do think that the carriage turns back into a pumpkin this week.
Mm-hmm.
Philly's tough to beat, man. I mean, the one thing that you have going for you if you're San Francisco is if you look at Philly's schedule, they had one of the easiest schedules in the NFL. So, I mean, that obviously helped pad wins. But they're still a really good team. I think they lose to whoever the AFC Championship is. I think the Niners would make it more competitive against the AFC champion. But I don't think that the Niners make it past Philly this week.
I agree 100%. All right, we're on to number three, wing number three here. So they're gradually getting spice here, allegedly.
This is like the barbacoa was third on the spice level of 10.
Okay.
This is, I think, six.
And we're adding more. You've already, like,
I already pour a little bit of the sauce on there. You're dabbing it a little bit more. I would suggest you not dabbing too much more of the last one, because that is going to hurt.
Oh, I'm going to.
Oh.
Oh, is that a, yeah, is that a challenge?
That's the last dab.
Woo! Yeah, this next one is pretty good.
So this is Fly-By Gin. It's like a Szechuan peppercorn chili oil. For the wing.
All right. Well, as we're eating and talking, we're
so
moving.
So Chris Walters did pick the Niners in this game.
Oh, yes, he did.
Right? So we have split. We're split.
We're split. 50-50. Ooh, yeah, that number three was that's good.
Three's good. I used that in eggs. That was really good.
All right.
Not
and then
sponsored
this,
by Hot Ones. Not sponsored by Hot
I'm
Ones.
I'm more interested. Like, yeah, I'm a little more interested in just the both games are going to be awesome. I guess I'm equally interested in both, but very much looking forward to the Bengals at Chiefs. A rematch of last year's AFC Championship. The Bengals coming off a huge win. I mean, they destroyed Buffalo in Buffalo. Again, we talked earlier, like, they've just had a chip on their shoulder, and they're just riding that, I think. And they're just dominating whoever gets in their way. Again, we talked about the spread in this game. I think it started off as a 1-point favorite or a 2-point favorite for the.
I have it here. It started.
Yeah, what was
a,
that?
Started a, on Sunday night. It started a 1.5-point favorite for the Chiefs, and then went to 1 for the Chiefs, and then on Monday, and then became even on Monday. On Tuesday morning, it then went to Bengals by 1.5, up to 2.5, back down to 1.5 on Wednesday, and now since Thursday, it became even, and since about Thursday afternoon. It's been one point from Chiefs.
Chiefs.
It's
yeah.
gone up and down.
I feel like they own them. I mean, the Bengals have owned the Chiefs the last couple of years. And Joe Burrow is just, I mean, is he top two or top three quarterback? I don't even, like, he's up there. He is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Mahomes, I still think, is number one. But a one-legged Mahomes versus a two-legged Burrow. I'm gonna go with the Bengals. I think their offense is flying high. Their defense steps up. The only thing that worries me about the Bengals, and this wasn't an issue for them last week, is their offensive line because they got a little dinged up the week before against the Ravens, and then but they came out and they solidified themselves in the trenches against the Bills, and now they just Chiefs defense isn't spectacular. They're decent, Give me the Bengals, baby. Bengals-Eagles Super Bowl. There it is. All right, we're on to the final wing, the hottest one.
I just dropped some more on mine, Sam.
The Fly-By Gin was actually pretty good, too. It's a little bit spicier. It's definitely a 6th level.
I don't think that was spicy at all.
It was a little spicy. I'm probably the weakest one here, though, when it comes to, like, spice.
We're going to leave this up to Jimmy G the Sad Boy on this one.
For the Bengals and the Chiefs, I think, kind of mirroring what you said earlier, I think no one respects the Bengals this year. I think they just did whatever they want to do, and everyone doesn't think they're the least respected.
Woo!
Oops. They're the least respected AFC champ, defending champion. That's a lot, Fernando.
That's all right. I'm digging my own grave.
Okay. you definitely are.
Woo!
Woo! You have not even ate it yet. No, let's save it a second. I think that the Bengals have what it takes to win this. Oh, he's just eating that last dab wing, and it's going to start to be fire.
Ooh, there it is. Wowzers.
Yeah.
All right.
This is very, very chaotic. All right. The Bengals. I have a feeling the Bengals are going to win this game. I think the Chiefs are going to be hobbled without, literally and figuratively with Mahomes not being 100%. And I just think that, I think the Bengals have this. Fuck. I'm picking a 49ers Bengals Super Bowl. On to you, Trav.
What's going on with you? What do you got, Travis?
Chris has also picked the Bengals. Also.
Yes. So you said Bengals or Chiefs?
Bengals.
Fuck.
I am putting one little dab on mine.
Yeah, my mouth is pulsating right now with...
I told you not to put that much.
It's okay, I got beer.
That one hurts.
Woo!
Wow.
It's the last dab. It's a 2 million plus goal. I'm just...
Oh, wow. It doesn't get better.
Yeah, it's like the quick, like here when you drink the water, but then it just comes back right away.
So, at the end of the day, I'm going to agree with everything that you said. The Bengals. So you got to do yours before you start.
No, I'm going to let you talk.
Bengals been disrespected. I got tears. Bengals been disrespected. Joe Burrow is going into Burrowhead Stadium.
Burrowhead Stadium, yeah.
They got one more game to go back.
I have a coughing fit, sorry.
Oh, it's so hot. They have one game to go back to the Super Bowl.
Too much. Whoa.
And match it back up one more time. And I think they're going to do it. I think that they're the best team left in the NFL. I think they're going to beat the Chiefs. I think they're going to beat the Chiefs by more than one score.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I think this is the Bengals Super Bowl to lose.
Hell yeah. And if the Bengals do go on to win the Super Bowl, side note, they would just be the third team ever to lose the Super Bowl the year before and go on to win it the next year. The 71 Cowboys and 72 Dolphins. Ooh, sorry, fourth. And the 2018 Patriots. Yeah, my mouth is in pain right now.
I'm okay now.
I am not. I'm eating ice, drinking water, drinking beer. It's like a 5-second solution and then it just comes back.
Oh, yeah.
All right, are we done talking now?
So they call me back in college, the old 5-second solution.
All right, well, there are our picks. I hope you enjoyed listening to us eat hot wings and destroying our mouths while we talk. Whew!
Yeah, I can't do this every week like that guy on TV.
But, yeah. Hey, we'll be back for the Super Bowl. And make sure you go out to Full Circle Saloon for next Sunday. The Pro Bowl will be on. Nobody cares about that, but we're doing the chili cook-off. If you're listening and you're in the area, Full Circle out in Santee. Full chili cook-off. All right, we're going to sign off from that. My name is Fernando.
My name is Travis.
Jimmy G, the staff boy.
And this is Double Joints and Shackles.
Teaching you how to football.
Okay, hey, football. Oh, my God.
Sure, I'm trying to.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.